Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Wednesday, the 11th day of July, year of our Lord, 2012. Welcome to the John Moore Show. I did get a call yesterday from a private trusted source, a very disturbing call that I've been pondering how to report this to you since I got it mid-morning yesterday. And I've decided the best thing to do is just to, well, tell it like it is and not hold back, except to protect my source, of course. Well, here's what's going on. The U.S. military in the last week has begun conducting briefings for dependents, dependent military families, husbands and wives of men and women in the military. These would be the dependents that are stationed on the near the East Coast, the Atlantic Ocean, near the West Coast, the Pacific Ocean, and near the Gulf Coast. At these briefings, they're being told the following, that there's this planetary-sized object called Nibiru that's coming into our solar system. It's going to be causing very severe problems, much more so than it already is, very soon. And that they're being put on standby to bug out. They're being told that there'll be little notice, possibly 2 weeks or so, before they're given the notice to bug out. Oh, they're also, by the way, they're being shown a map at these briefings. And they're signing non-disclose agreements before they go into the briefings, before the briefings begin, agreeing to not disclose to anybody else what they're learning. Here's our first break. We'll talk about this when we get back. Stay tuned. Anyway, at these briefings, these people are being told that when the call comes, they will only be able to take basically what you would take if you were flying on a commercial airline, a carry-on bag and one check bag with family photographs, personal important papers, documents, and whatever clothes you can fit in. End of story. And they have to abandon all their other clothing, personal possessions, furniture, appliances, automobiles, all the rest of it. The automobiles, I'm not sure. They might be bugging out in personal vehicles. That's unclear to me. And it's probably going to be a mixed bag of how people make their way away from these coastlines. I was talking to Tim Spencer about this and my friend Command Sergeant Major Page, both of whom are veterans of the U.S. military. And the agreement between the three of us was that these kinds of briefings would not take place a year in advance. They would not take place 6 months in advance. 4 to 6 weeks is probably pretty likely. Probably not more than 3 or 4 months. So that's our belief. I hope we're wrong. I hope that we're wrong. I hope that this turns out to be incorrect information. If it is, well, that's great. If it's not, if it turns out to be correct, then you've got your heads up. So I asked a question this morning to all of you out there, to the several thousand of you listening to me on the morning of July 11th, 2012. What would you do if you had 6 years to prepare? What would you do if you had 6 months to prepare? What would you do if you had 6 weeks to prepare? There's going to be different answers to those three different questions, aren't there? 6 weeks is a possibility. I hope it's wrong. I truly, in my heart of hearts, hope that that is wrong. I know that at some point that we will get warnings like this that are viable and will be the real deal. And unfortunately, I think this may be it. I don't know. I hope it is not. My source will be, I'll be talking to my source on a weekly basis for the foreseeable future, for probably several months into the future, probably till the end of this year, most likely. We're going to be getting to know each other real well and communicating as we track this thing and see where it goes. My source doesn't want to hear this either. I mean, we're both mature men. We're both Vietnam vets, and he has a life he's put together for himself and his family that he doesn't want to see disrupted. I have a life I've put together for myself and my family I would just soon not see disrupted. But reality is, well, it is what it is. And when we get the call, when we get the call about the bug out, I will report it the next show I'm on the air. Now, keep in mind, this is radio, and we always have schedule changes. Any change in my schedule, when my show can be heard, will be posted at my website. So just keep my website handy, thelibertyman.com, and any changes. And typically, in the past here at Republic Broadcasting, when station management has changed the day or the hours of my show, I get no notice either. So I'm just like a mushroom also. And the station management will just tell me, well, John, your new show is this day and at this time. And I say, yes, sir, and I salute and carry on. So be sure you keep my website address handy, thelibertyman.com. If there would be a change in my schedule, of course, it will be posted there. My source told me about this dependent. My source is not the dependent, by the way. The dependent was looking at my map and saying that my map was very close to the map that the dependent was shown at the briefing. Very close. As we say, as Tim Spencer would say, close enough for government work. There's going to be deviations between the map that I recreated working with the three Navy veterans and the map the government is showing. However, it is close enough. Knowing if Aunt Nellie's house is going to be underwater in South Carolina really is not the issue. And no, it's not. The issue is the Atlantic coast, Pacific coast, and Gulf coast will all be underwater, 50 miles inland, 75 miles inland, 100 miles, depending on where it is, wiping out the regions, the homes, the businesses, the schools, the hospitals, where about half this population in the United States live, work, and play, including Washington, D.C., New York, Baltimore, Miami. It's a long list of major cities. That's the point. Not whether Aunt Nellie's house is going to be underwater in South Carolina. That's not really the issue. People that live near the Atlantic coast, Pacific coast, Gulf coast, I've had these conversations dozens of times the last 10 years. They want to go to a map. They want to look at my map and see if their house or if Aunt Nellie's house is going to be underwater. That's not the point. It's human nature. You're going to try to do that. I know that. That's not the point. The briefings I'm getting from my confidential source have the ring of truth to them. They do. And I will do everything I need to do to protect my source, make sure my source remains confidential. In fact, the original source does not even know that they are a source. That's how we've kept this confidential. They don't even know they're a source. But that's a good thing. It protects them also. Searching for a date, searching for a time frame is something, it's human nature. I get these inquiries all the time whenever I have these conversations with groups of people or individuals. When's this going to happen, John? Well, I still don't know. I know I'm reporting as much as I know right now. As my friend Professor McCanny would say, and he published this in his book, a lady was asking about a time frame, and his response was, well, ma'am, if I give you a date, what are you going to do, buy another case of tuna fish? I think that's almost a word-for-word quotation there. Last-minute preparations means getting down to prioritizing, making a list of priorities, making sure you have the things that you, the essentials that you absolutely must have, your water filter, your food supply, medical supplies, communications equipment, you know, whatever, boots and hats and gloves, fuel stored up, seeds for your gardens, like hopefully a safe haven. That would be a really, really good thing, a safe haven where you can live and be safe and grow your own food away from a major metropolitan area at a good altitude with a decent growing season, plenty of water, and so forth. If you don't have a safe haven, I would urge you to secure one. I think that would be one of the highest priorities a person could and should have, is securing a safe haven for themselves and the people they care about. Why don't we look at this as a training exercise, these next few months between now and October? Do we have 6 weeks, 8, 12? I don't know how many weeks we've got. Maybe we've got 120 weeks. Make your list of priorities and work the top priority first, then number two, and then number three, and so forth. You can work on two or three priorities at the same time, by the way. You don't have to limit yourself to one at a time. When Dr. Deagle, it's been, 4 years ago now, asked me to make a top 10 list of things for preparedness, it instantly struck me as something very essential, an excellent exercise. I had not done it before. So I put together my top 10 list. And Dr. Deagle and I have talked about that several dozen times the last few years on the Friday afternoon show on Genesis, Dr. Deagle's third hour. As you regular listeners know that hear me on Dr. Deagle, I do get to talk a little bit. At some point, my source will let me know, and I will let you know. We have a break. Call the numbers, 877-488-5350. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'd want to be some altitude above Lake Erie, maybe 100 feet or so, because there's going to be a lot of things other than just the oceans coming out of their basins. There'll be 200-mile-an-hour winds. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be a lot of meteors hitting our dear old planet here. But as far as Lake Erie is concerned, I would just want to be maybe 100 feet or so above the lake level, just for a bit of a margin of safety. My website is thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. That's where you'll find my best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, where you can learn the truth behind the deception of global warming, learn the classified information from the U.S. military, learn the science and the science fiction in the documentary film An Inconvenient Truth. Learn about the government-designated safe havens. And also learn the real and highly classified timetable for the onset of abrupt climate change and rising ocean levels. Well, of course, I talk about this just about every day. The timetable is now. The timetable is now. It's in our face. You know, things are changing very, very quickly. Being exposed to this material for the first time can be quite shocking. A lot of people, it's so far away from their belief system that they simply outright reject it, and I expect that. That's why I go back frequently to the fact, and it is a fact, scientifically provable fact, and I've got some of the evidence at my website, that 2 years ago last month, it was June 12th, 2010, the Gulf Stream stopped. This is one of the many effects of the 10th planet, or Nibiru, on our planet, is and there are secondary effects. It's not a direct effect, it's a secondary effect. Back in 1979, when the scientists with our government and the various world governments, once they satisfied themselves that Nibiru was real and where it was located with the Pioneer 10 space probe, they began making their preparations, part of continuity of government contingency planning. They also developed their cover story. The goal of our government and the world governments is to keep everybody going to work Monday through Friday, paying their mortgages, being distracted with professional sports and other things, to the last minute. And I think they'll be 97-98% successful in that effort because of their Loctite grip on mass media. So the cover story they developed was that there's going to be something called human-created climate change, human-created global warming. That's the cover story that they decided on in 1979. It's not just a fantasy put out by Al Gore. Al Gore is the most visible spokesman. But this is the storyline put out by NASA and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the National Aeronautical and Space Administration, that human beings and human activity is creating greenhouse gases, which in turn is warming the planet. That's a complete fabrication, a complete fantasy. Even little children can tell you about carbon footprints now and how we should all have a smaller carbon footprint. What a bunch of malarkey that is, as my friend Lucas would say. But they have been wildly successful in obfuscation and confusing the issues, convincing people that things are something that other than what they really are, and they will continue to be. In the meantime, if you become a student of my work, a student of Professor McCanny, a student of Emmanuel Velikovsky, Zechariah Sitchin, and others, you can learn the truth. The truth is, what we're experiencing is cyclical in nature. It's a long cycle, 3,600 years in human lifetimes. That's a lot of lifetimes. 3,600 years. You figure four generations per century times 36 centuries. That's a lot of centuries. That's a lot of generations. The cyclical nature of this planet going away from us for 1,800 years and coming back towards us for 1,800 years in the binary star system. I get emails from all kinds of people claiming they have photographs, claiming this, claiming that. It's natural to want to see this thing. 12 years ago, when I found out about it, more than 12 years ago, I began that quest myself. I came to realize it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if I see a photograph of it or not. Eventually, I will see photographs that are authentic, and so will you. Eventually, we'll see the real deal, and here in the Northern Hemisphere. By then, we'll be down to the final few months, if not few weeks or days, before all hell breaks loose. I encourage you to, now don't get caught up in a quest trying to find a photograph of the 10th planet of Nibiru. It's pointless. It serves no purpose. What you need to do is educate yourself about this cycle, where every 3,600 years, every civilization on the planet gets mashed down to the mud. Lucas told that story quite well in his first DVD. It's mainstream archaeology, by the way. Very mainstream archaeology. And they offer no explanation. Mainstream archaeology offers no explanation for all the civilizations on Earth 3,600 years ago collapsing, coming to a halt. They don't. They offer no explanation for the same thing happening 7,200 years ago or 12,000 years ago. They don't. I know why. And when you educate yourself, you will know why as well. It's very important that you educate yourself. Take the time to do the serious reading necessary. And it's going to take a lot of reading. You know, watching the 4 hours of my DVD is a good start, but that's all it is. At the end of my second disc, I give a fairly extensive bibliography of books that you can use to educate yourself. It's probably 20 to 30,000 pages worth of reading. Oh, yeah. I'm quite serious here. There's a lot to learn. If you think you can have a comprehensive understanding of these matters by watching a four-hour lecture that I put together, well, you're sadly wrong. That's just a beginning point. That's just a teaser. This is all that is. And I would urge you not to make major life decisions and major changes in career or where you live, the part of the country you live, based only on watching my four-hour lecture. I think you need to do more homework than that. I stand behind what's in my lecture. I document what's in my lecture. And it's solid. If it wasn't solid, I would have been hammered into the ground long ago. This first disc came out in the first week of September 2008. That's be 4 years ago this September. The second disc came out just a little over a year ago. So, no, what I have there is very real and very provable. I offer some of the evidence there at my website with the U.S. Navy images of the Gulf Stream before it stopped and the Navy images of the Gulf Stream after it stopped, which, of course, is where we are right now. The Gulf Stream having stopped and its effect on the ocean current and weather is why we're experiencing the unprecedented heat here in North America. There is no precedent. We have weather records going back to about the 1880s in much of the country. This is the hottest year ever recorded in the 130 years or so of record keeping. Unprecedented. And what will happen in the future in terms of weather, I can't tell you. I think I can tell you with some certainty that it will be worse. That we'll have more frequent, more bizarre, and more dangerous weather events. Extremes of drought and extremes of too much rain. Extremes of high temperatures, extremes of low temperatures. Days where we have 200 and 300 tornadoes in one day. Who ever heard of such a thing? 200 and 300 tornadoes in one day. Earthquakes in places that have never had earthquakes. As you see these things increase, become daily events, you'll know, because I've told you so, you'll know that we're getting closer to the end. The end being when Nibiru, the 10th planet, the destroyer, impacts us to the point where we have a tilt of the Earth's axis and these oceans come out of their basins. That's what's going to cause the worldwide flooding. What's called a pole shift. I can't tell you how many degrees it'll be. It's probably going to be in the range of 15 to 20 degrees, something like that. That may not sound like much. That is huge. That is massive. Poles don't need to flip 180 degrees. They don't have to flip 90 degrees. A 15 or 20 degree shift in the poles would be enough to cause coastal flooding on all continents. That's all it will take. And when I use the word all it will take here, that's a massive, massive thing. They have something the size of our Earth tilt its axis 15 or 20 degrees. One of the difficulties I had putting this whole thing together was that the Navy veterans I was debriefing, they were sitting in the folding chairs getting the information. They were not the scientists put the information together. So the Navy veterans were told what would happen. They were not told why it would happen or how. They were told these oceans would come out of their basins. They weren't told what would precipitate that, what would make this happen. I had to find that out myself. That's when I found out there's a bulge of water at the equator, not quite 500 feet above sea level being measured at Cornwall, England, held in place by gravity and rotation of the Earth. Anything that disrupts where true north is, disrupts the rotation of the Earth, will disrupt that bulge of water, which is hundreds of thousands of cubic miles of water, north and south of the equator, going north and south more than 1,000 miles each direction. That's a massive bulge of water. And once that water is disrupted, and if you're near a coastal area, well, baby, watch out. You're going to be underwater. One of my consultation clients down in Texas, he's about 80 miles from the Gulf Coast. I arrive at his home, and I'm about to get out of the Suburban. I look down, and I see sand and seashells in all the ground, everywhere, the entire region there, sand and seashells. I looked him straight in the eye, and I said, this used to be under the ocean. He got kind of quiet because his wife was standing there, and he had not told his wife yet. And he said, yes, John, it was. Much of East Texas used to be under the ocean. Even areas 80 and 100 miles from the ocean, where the ocean is now, used to be under the ocean. And those are seashells. They're not the fossils of seashells. They are the seashells. So it wasn't millions and millions of years ago. They're just plain old seashells like you'd find next to any ocean right now and been laying there for about 3,600 years, or 7,200 years. I don't know which cycle deposited those seashells in sand. I do know they're there. I do know that. So this is your wake-up call, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I started out the show with a warning. I'm going to wrap it up with the same warning because I know there's people that can't tune in the entire show. One of my trusted private confidential sources tells me that military dependents that are stationed with their spouses on the Atlantic coast, Pacific coast, and Gulf coast are now attending briefings. They have to sign non-disclose agreements, briefings that they could soon get a bug-out order where they would be ordered to leave these coastal areas, taking only the equivalent of a carry-on bag and one suitcase, abandoning everything else. They may get as much as 2 weeks' notice before they need to get before they get this order. They may not get 2 weeks' notice. This notice would probably, we believe, be given sometime in the next 4 to 8 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. We don't know. It's not the kind of thing that would be given a year in advance or 6 months in advance, anywhere from a month to maybe 3 months out, maybe as far out as October. A lot of speculation about what may or may not happen in October. So we got part of July, all of August, September, and in October. It'd be October, about 3 months, close enough. So that's your heads up. That is your heads up that these briefings are being conducted. They're telling these people that the planet Nibiru is going to be causing flooding of all coastal areas worldwide. They're being shown a map that's very similar to the map in my DVD, Global Warming, what the government's been telling you, the map that I recreated with the help of three Navy veterans who saw the classified map the U.S. Navy displayed at their briefings going back to 1979. This is your heads up. Whatever you need to do to make your list of priorities, start working on it for your preparations, you need to be doing it. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. There's going to be some things similar in a lot of these lists and some things different. You all have our own situation to deal with. You know what your situation is. Just do it. I do private consultations, by the way, details at my website, thelibertyman.com. If you need some help gaining some clarity and focus as to what you're doing, I'll be glad to do that for you and with you. Hopefully this will blow over. We'll get through this fall, get past the fall elections, and life will be grand. We can enjoy a joyous Christmas season where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus and celebrate January 1st, 2013 with no major problems. I really, sincerely hope and pray that is what happens. I would not be carrying out my duty as a journalist, however, if I held back this information from you. I have a duty and a responsibility as a journalist, which I am, an investigative journalist, to put this information out. What you do with it is up to you. That's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. You all be safe out there. Buy lots of ammunition. Never give up your guns. The code words for today, for those of you behind enemy lines, turn to page 156, first paragraph. Page 156, first paragraph. Be safe and buy lots of ammunition.